This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Wrapped in an Indian blanket, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger strode off a stage this week after signing an agreement with five Indian tribes. The deal would expand the tribe's gambling operations in exchange for a $1 billion payment to the state. When running for governor, Schwarzenegger campaigned hard against special interests, including Indian tribes. But this deal not only helps the tribes, it also throws a bone to some of the state's Democratic unions. Schwarzenegger's about-face as part of his overall governing style, which is to create unlikely coalitions in order to get his proposals through. His tactics are described in a lengthy article in this week's New Yorker magazine. And writer Connie Bruck joins me now. Welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, California's legislature in Sacramento, it's known as a bitterly partisan place where term limits only add to lawmakers' chronic inability to get along, it seems, and get anything passed. But Schwarzenegger has been able to create these coalitions between Democrats and Republicans and get some of his more controversial ideas through. How has he been able to do that?
Well, to his credit, he is... he's just masterful in dealing with people, and he really has been able to do this, I think, all his adult life. But what he's done specifically with the legislature is he's done a couple of things. He came to Sacramento, and he disarmed people with his charm, and he brought fun, glamour, and pizzazz to this kind of quiet place. I mean, it's very odd to see some of these, you know, as somebody said, grown men get so silly in his presence. It's very odd. One of these legislators, a woman, was telling me that she knows that some of the legislators like pose for pictures with him and then go back to their districts and show people the pictures of them with Arnold. I mean, it's almost embarrassing to hear about. But at the same time, he also keeps people off balance, because at the same time that he might have been like charming them, he was also threatening them. When he was trying to get a workers' comp deal and they were kind of stalling in his view, he started talking about maybe having a part-time legislature. So he's always kind of, you know, shifting the ground under their feet.
So he sounds like a very savvy politician.
Extremely, extremely savvy and sophisticated about how to deal with people. All his adult life, I would say, like in the bodybuilding world especially, he got people to do what he wanted by zeroing in on their weaknesses. And he's just he has an instinct for it, I would say.
Now, the state is still in a severe budget crisis. I believe it's facing a $14 billion deficit. And his response has been fairly typical: borrow heavily and cut spending.
Right.
How are his plans any different from those of his predecessor, Governor Gray Davis?
His plans aren't that different. I mean, he's packaged them differently. I mean, Gray Davis was challenged in court, but wanted to borrow $11 billion. Schwarzenegger is borrowing $15 billion. You know, Davis was unwilling to raise taxes or to make really severe cuts. Schwarzenegger, similarly, at this point, is not willing to raise taxes or make the really severe cuts. He's pushing the hardest decisions out. But he packages it differently. And I have to say, to be fair, he has achieved certain things. He sets goals. He defines success by setting certain goals. And then when he meets them, he says, victory. So a lot of it is the way he sells things. And the fact that when Schwarzenegger does sort of sell things, people believe him.
And some of the most interesting details in your article involve Maria Shriver, and something that I wasn't aware of, that she is actually almost Nancy Reagan-esque, sort of the steely power behind the throne, and that people were very afraid of her at campaign headquarters. What is her role, and how powerful is she now?
I think that her role is similar now to what it has always been with Arnold, except it's even more active. When he was in the movie business, she oversaw everything. She would read the scripts more than he did. She was looking out for his image. She was saying Arnold should be doing this or Arnold shouldn't be doing this. She looked into the marketing, how that was done. So she was kind of this person who was overseeing him, all these aspects of his career, and making sure that he was protected, you know, that his image was protected, that he was taken more seriously. I think that she's doing much the same thing today, except that she's in a far more potent position, because whereas before that in his movie life, some of the people, like marketing people, didn't like being ordered around by Maria. They were working for Arnold, not Maria. Now she's this Democrat. She's from this famous, you know, she's a Kennedy. And so Democrats are kind of, I mean, they love her. Mm-hmm. And they are willing to sort of take him at his best or interpret him in the most positive way because he's married to her. So she is an immensely important asset to him.
He has said that Ronald Reagan is one of his heroes, and obviously the similarities are apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Former actor, governor of California, aspirations for the presidency.
Right.
When you met him and you were doing the reporting for the story, did you find other parallels, or did you find that that's pretty much where it stops and they differ substantially in terms of politics and policies?
Well, I don't think we really know Arnold's politics so much yet. I actually think that the way, when Arnold says he looks at Reagan and sort of idolizes him and sees him as a model, I think it's in the way that Reagan was able to communicate with people and how he made people feel hopeful again. And they use some of the same. Reagan talked about the shining city on the hill. And Arnold has his, you know, California is going to become again the golden dream by the sea. I mean, and he actually has hired Reagan's former speechwriter, Landon Parvin. So it's not an accident that they have the same kind of. But I think Maria told me that Arnold, she calls it that he's in the optimism business.
You write that he had a list of goals decades ago, what he wanted to achieve in his life. And it went from being the top bodybuilder in the world to being an actor to going to politics. So he has achieved those three. His biggest goal, I would imagine, would be to be president of the United States. And he has made comments from time to time about getting a constitutional amendment to allow foreign-born people to become president.
Mm-hmm.
Is he serious about that?
Well, I believe that he's serious. I did ask him about it, and he said, oh, no, you know, it's the last thing that I think of. But I, from having studied him for the last, whatever, 6 months or so, I'm certain that he intends it. People tell me that it's a long process, so I don't know how realistic it is. But in this case, if I had to bet, knowing everything I do about him, I would bet that it gets passed.
Never underestimate Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's the moral.
Connie Bruck is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Her article on Arnold Schwarzenegger is in this week's issue, and thank you for coming in and joining us.
Thank you very much.